All right, children, I'm going to be talking about you in this message. So pay close attention. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 12. And you'll see that it has application to us as well as we look at this passage. But Matthew 21, beginning in verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. He said unto And said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. Let's pray. My Father, as we look at this passage, it is in many ways so misunderstood and neglected. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we present this message. May it be done in truth and in love. And Lord, we do pray for the children here, Father, that they would even be in this number of this company of children that are unnamed. We don't know their names. But you recorded what they said. So, Father, may we gain instruction for our own souls that we might, that it might even be said of us, that out of our mouths, by your grace, have come perfected praise. We ask now, Father, you would hear us. For we pray in the name of our Savior, the Savior of young and old, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake. Amen. It's interesting that as we look at this particular passage, all the gospel accounts record this scenario. Maybe not the exact words we got here, but deals with this whole scenario. What took place in the temple that day. And this has reference to the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem. But this is a delicate and holy balance as to the place of children. Some people will say that children should be seen and not heard. Some people would say they shouldn't be seen or heard. But still others put them on such a high pedestal till they get them into these dizzying heights that they put them in on this pedestal to where they're like Humpty Dumpty on the wall and they fall from these dizzying heights that parents have put them upon. Lifted them up higher than they ought to be lifted up. Idolizing them. And preening and primping them. Kind of like the... Well, you know what happens oftentimes to children who are born of royal lineage. Those who... The children of Hollywood stars, where they are put up on that pedestal, sometimes to fulfill the dreams of the parents that the parents couldn't have fulfilled in their lives. They fulfilled through their children. It's idolatrous and harmful to children when we do go to that extreme. The Bible, however, presents children in a precious, sacred light, as we see in this text. And I would say that in context of what we read, and in other places, these children were saved children. We don't know exactly how old they are, but that they were saved children. God saves children. Really does. And from this vantage, Jesus wouldn't have said, "Thou hast perfected praise," if they weren't saved, because even the prayers of the wicked are not heard. So these are saved children. And so it's from this vantage point we want to launch this message as to Hosanna children. We're speaking of Hosanna children. I've seen some Hosanna children. And there is one I know of for sure that's in our midst. And I'm hoping that there'll be others in time to come. But we don't want to, in our zeal to seeing children converted, that we don't want to be guilty of those who would sprinkle or baptize infants. Nor should we be the number of those who would improperly influence children so as to put words in their mouths and pronounce them as believers in Christ. I mean, that's dangerous too. We would make them twofold more the child of hell in so doing. But rather, we should do as we would with anybody else. We should be no respecter of persons. But what do? We let them answer for themselves what they perceive that God has done for them. We don't make these canned inquiries where it's yes or no. We let them say, "Exactly what do you see that God has done for your soul?" And then we, like John the Baptist, we want to see fruit meet for repentance. So that's what we do. That's the biblical way to approach children when it comes to salvation. But listen to these religious Pharisees. Listen what they say. "Hearest thou what these say?" Oh, these children. Do you hear what these children are saying? You ought to feel guilty about this. Are you allowing these children to address you in that way? I mean, they don't even probably know what Hosanna means. They cannot properly give the in-depth definition that we know of as scribes and Pharisees and religious leaders. But we have those kinds of people today. And it's really sad, because Jesus said, and I've said this time and time again, that if we offend one of these little ones, it's better to have a millstone hanging about your neck and cast into the depths of the sea. That's a serious offense there. God doesn't take it lightly. But there are such Pharisees in our day today. But then there are others that say, "Well, okay, well, I mean, I believe that God can save children, but they need to keep it down. The enthusiasm is just a little bit too, it's kind of off the wall. It's really kind of over the top." And yes, I understand, as James has been talking about emotionalism and fanaticism, we have to be careful. We know that zeal that grows into madness is dangerous, is it not? a zeal that's not according to knowledge. Remember, as Paul described the Jews? But fire, yes, is a bad master. But fire is a good servant. Now, we don't understand that as much these days, but now that Jimmy's got the wood stove and Wendell's made that little thing, you know, I've been thinking about fire more and how helpful it is to stay warm. Can you imagine, though, in those days, and speak of it in a spiritual sense, that, if people get too excitable and they get too enthusiastic, it might turn into a zeal that's not according to knowledge. It might turn into fanaticism. So let's put out all the fires. Now that's throwing the baby out with the bathwater, isn't it? But I don't just think if they did that in days gone by when we read of revivals that went through the land, if they just put out all the fires of revival, what kind of state would we be in today if that would have been the case? So we need to be careful. Enthusiasm, in its proper sense, is a God-given thing. It's something that God gives. We see it over and over. Jesus cried. He wept. He cried out. He preached the gospel. So we need to be careful that we don't get so suspicious like the Pharisees would do. And then, we look at the Pharisees. Have ye read? Have ye never read? They're always reading. Always talking, you know, they're looking at the letter of the law and reckon the reading in the Scriptures as something very, very important. And it hit them hard when Jesus said, have you never read? Have you never read? As if to say, maybe they weren't reading. That's what they're supposed to do, but they weren't. Or they did not read it in the sense in which it directs to the inner part of our heart. You see. It never reached there and penetrated their hearts. And so Jesus says, quotes the Psalms, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength. That shut them up. I mean, don't you love it how the Lord just gave them that perfect answer? It was so perfect, they were just dumbfounded. They didn't have anything they could say. They didn't ask him any other questions, did they? And Jesus went his way. What can we gather from this text? Except that God delights on those things that are despised and weak in this world. That's the way children, you know. Children, you're not as big as we are. But I want you to take delight and take in consideration that God loves to save children. And He loves to use children. And He loves to get glory and honor to His name through children. Don't forget that. Now, I don't know whether you're one of them or not. I'm just telling you that God loves the children. His elect children. Because there's power there. There's no flesh going to glory in His presence. Like we were just praying a little while ago, the most notorious sinner, or maybe some great leader, the Lord saves them. Well, that's great. That's a wonderful trophy of God's grace. But that God would use children who are weak and small. It sets forth His majesty. Children who have come to know Jesus Christ, be encouraged that God delights in children who behave as these children did in our text. And we're going to look into that. God accepts the sacrifices of the poor and accepts the offerings of these children in this text. Some people may despise them, think little of them, but the Lord doesn't. He even enrolls some of them into His kingdom. And not just dealing with them in fun and games, but they take them seriously. You know, Jesus isn't just doting on them and singing little ditties to them. Anybody can do that. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. But it's like, well, this is all you're able to deal with, and you're small, and you're weak, and you don't know anything. And in many ways that's true, but is not the God who is able to save dead, lost sinners able to use, to save and to use children, as we see here in this text? What I want to do, first of all, is look at the abilities of these children. These children, obviously, were able to make God's praises glorious. Here. It's amazing. Able to make God's praises glorious. Children, you know why I heard you all during Sunday school? I heard y'all during Sunday school. I heard y'all singing, "Crown Him with many crowns." What a blessing that is to hear. And I pray and hope that every one of you will be able to offer up perfected praise and one day crown Him with many crowns. These children must have had a true godly sorrow and repentance. Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get to the point where Jesus would say that out of mouths of babes and sucklings, Thou hast perfected praise. I mean, children, I remember I speaking to some children in days gone by. And some who still name the name of Christ, where they wept over their sins. Sorry over their sins. Now we might not think of it as any big deal. They're little deeds of disobedience where they spoke crossly to one of their siblings. But their hearts were broken over it. They had a sensitive heart toward the things of God. As foolish parents would say, "Oh, don't worry about that. You got a good heart." That's the worst thing you could say. They don't have a good heart. But the child who's had dealings with God knows better. But these children had faith in this passage. They believed God's word. There was no doubts. There was no hypocrisy. They took God at His word. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Look at the text. Look at what they were saying. What were they saying? Notice with me. There in verse 15, "And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying..." They were emotionally driven, or not driven, I should say, but it was because of God working in them. They cried out in the temple and saying, "Hosanna." What does Hosanna mean? It's a term of adoration. It's a term of adoration that simply means, "Oh, save. Oh, save." But what else did they say? "Oh, save to the Son of David." That was a term that is addressing the Messiah. "Oh, save Messiah. Oh, save Savior." They were addressing Jesus Christ by faith.
that he was the Savior. He was the Messiah. That's what they had true saving faith, these children. They had faith in God.
But we see that also they had a unhypocritical prayer life. You know, when we praise, it's like part of our prayer ought to be praise, right? It was a prayer, if you will, public prayer, in which they were unashamed to pray publicly. They were unashamed to pray publicly because they knew God loved them. And all that really matters is what God thinks about them. You know? That's all that really matters. But they prayed publicly. I remember reading of this one child who went to a prayer meeting long ago. And it was a time of droughts. And they were praying for rain. And this little child brought an umbrella to the prayer meeting. She believed that God was going to answer prayer. She had faith in God in her prayer. She was praying, believing that God was going to send rain. What a rebuke to the older disciples of the Lord as they prayed. Children, you can teach us things without you even knowing it. You can teach us, and with that simple faith in your very prayers. I've heard prayers, bedtime prayers and devotional prayers and prayers at the dinner table that would melt your heart in tears as you think about God's grace in that child's heart. Then we find also they had a great courage. Jesus was being rebuked by the religious leaders. And here they had enough courage to speak out, not just softly, but so that everybody could hear them. This is the Messiah. That's what they're doing. They were going right along with John the Baptist, and they were saying, as it were, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." They had that kind of boldness. Word that we would have that kind of boldness. They had a courage. You ever read some of the accounts of the martyrs of days gone by? Let me tell you a few of them. There was the martyr Lawrence, who was burned at Colchester, and the popish tormentors had so tortured him in prison that he had to be carried to the stake in a chair. And all the grown-up people were afraid that they might be burned too if they were seen to associate with him. But the little children had no such fears. And so they came round the man of God and cried, "Lord, strengthen thy servant. Lord, strengthen thy servant." What a holy courage they displayed at that time. Their lives could have been in danger. And while the adults, the big, strong, knowledgeable adults, stood around cowering in fear, these children were praying for this man. Then there was one that was burned in Smithfield. Some of you may have read about this. A boy was seen coming home after a burning of one of the quote-unquote heretics. And someone said, "Boy, why were you there?" And this boy said, "Sir, I went to learn the way. That's why I went." They were willing to go the way. These were brave days when boys learned the way to witness for Jesus at the stake. A holy boldness and courage. Then we see that they were those who cheered those who were burning at the stake, who encouraged them as they were in the flames.
and died unflinchingly because God used these little children to encourage them.
They had a public testimony . If you're one of those Hosanna children, be encouraged. God can use you. God can use you like He can't use me or some of us adults.
You can break hearts with your words that we couldn't even come close to doing. God can use you. As a child of God, if you've been saved.
Now, it didn't happen right away, did it? Did Jesus come and save right then and there and bring in His kingdom?
No. These children exhibited patience. They exhibited patience.
I bet you, if we would, I don't want to say bet you, but I would imagine that Chris and Mavia could probably tell us some encouraging accounts of Stephen as he patiently had to bear with doctors prodding him and going to the doctor. That's God working. That's God working in the life of children. And they had a holy wisdom about them, these children. I read of this one guy who liked to go up to the children. And ask them a few pointed questions. And this fella would ask, "Have you a good heart?" And the child would say, "Oh yeah, I got a good heart." And he kind of smugly said, "I knew that was nothing to that conversion of that child." And so the guy goes on to say, "Well, what do you think I mean by having a good heart?" And the boy answered, "Because Jesus has made my heart good." So he didn't ask any more questions. Wisdom. God has. Yes, oftentimes youth, as Solomon says, is full of vanity and vexation of spirit and a waste. We look back in our younger days, and we can say that in many ways. But you know, God still has His Samuels. God still has His Daniels. God still has His Davids that slay the Goliaths out there. Matter of fact, I can tell you in my own experience, I mean, there was a teenager that told me about Jesus. A mere child, if you will. God uses young people. These children with God-given abilities are given to us as a model and an example. Thus, those of us who are older saints. Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." And not only that, He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto Me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." An example for us. You, children can be an example to us. You can be examples to us without even knowing it. We need to all be Hosanna children, really. Right? Be as a child. But then look at the service of these children. They served. They were bold witnesses for Christ. They had a word of comfort. Remember the maid, the little maid that told Naaman the Syrian general? She had words of healing and comfort. Here, these children had words of healing and comfort as they pointed to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives such great healing and such great comfort that in eternity it will roll on and on and on and on. They offered up perfected praise. They were bold in the truth, in their sincerity, in their true godliness, in their joy. Look a little further in Luke's account of this, in Luke chapter 19 and verse 37. Same account now. Notice what it says. Interesting. Luke 19, verse 37. And when he was come nigh even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, and peace in heaven and glory in the highest." This was the kind of things that these children were saying. Notice what it said. And some of the disciples from among the multitude said unto them, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." Those children were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. And Jesus said, and he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." They were offering up praise unto God. They were following the Lord Jesus Christ. Children can serve up the gospel to parents. More than once I've read of those who had maybe a drunkard father, and the little boy or girl went to Sunday school, went to church, and she would tell him or he would tell him about Jesus, and she would weep over the sin of her father, of their father and their mother. And God would use that to bring that parent to Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they wouldn't give the time of day to a pastor like me or somebody else. But God will use a child instead, that no flesh would glory in His presence. It's amazing. God stoops down from His throne in heaven and encourages these children. He allows the wise of this world to be foolish in their wisdom. Not many great men after the flesh, not many mighty are called. He has chosen the weak things of this world. And Jesus said, "I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in Thy sight." You know, it's just as hard. It's just as difficult for a child to be converted as an adult. You ever tried to honestly and rightly to bring a child to Christ? They have the same rebellious heart as anybody else. They have the same depraved nature. It still takes God's work of grace. You know, one of the other things that's so amazing about these children, and this shows their boldness too, they rebuked the enemies of God. They rebuked them. I mean, that took some boldness that only comes from God. I remember our son once. We were in the store. I think it was Carol was there at the time. But they're in the store during this time of year, a little bit before then, and one of them asked, "Well, what's Santa Claus getting you for Christmas?" "Well, I don't celebrate Christmas. And besides, anything I get from Jesus." Rebuke the enemies of God. That is what children can do. And I just encourage you, if you have children in your home, you teach Sunday school to the children, for the sake of God's glory and for the sake of the children, Be the testimony. Teach them in the right way. Lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, He has called not just young people to teach children, but He's called. Who? He didn't call Judas Iscariot to feed my lambs. He told Peter to, one of the chief of the apostles. So it's not a menial task; it's an honorable position to have children in your home, children under your wing and under your influence. It's a blessed opportunity. And may God give us more Hosanna children. I think it has a real good ring to it. Hosanna Hannah. And Hosanna Susanna. And Hosanna Titus and Ashlyn and Noah and Elliot and Olivia and Samuel and Hazel and Eli. And we could go on and on. May God give us more of these kind of Hosanna children in our midst. And may we be blessed as a result as we look at their simple and pure ways that's unmixed with hypocrisy. They are who they are. And may God give us a heart and help us to follow the good examples that we see, and God's children who are children. We'll close at this.